This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Shankar Vedantam is the host of NPR's Hidden Brain series and podcast. The show airs Saturdays at 2 on WVXU. The host will be at the University of Dayton later this month. I had the chance to speak with him earlier. Shankar, so glad you could join us today. Thanks for taking some time.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
So we're excited to know that you'll be speaking at the University of Dayton as part of the annual Joseph W. Stander Symposium. We'll have information about that at our website, wvxu.org. You're the host of Hidden Brain that airs here on WVXU on Saturdays at 2 o'clock. Your show's website describes the broadcast as, quote, "Our audience takes uncommon pleasure in the world of ideas. How do children come to love spicy foods? Why do religions exist? What's the best way to get people to be honest on their taxes?" Hidden Brain explores questions like these that lie at the very heart of a complex and changing society. So, Shankar, you've been in the media for a long time, and I'm wondering what you think about media consumers in general. Have they moved away from ideas and more towards ideologies?
I think in some ways the media have moved away from ideas and more toward ideologies. I'm not sure listeners and audiences have. And I'll tell you why I think so. Think this way, Michael. I found that in the work that I'm doing at Hidden Brain, there's an almost insatiable appetite for ideas that challenge people, that stretch their minds, that make them think about the world in new ways. And I get tons of feedback from listeners all the time saying that they really enjoy having their minds stretched in all kinds of ways. And I realized as I made this discovery maybe about 10 or 15 years ago in my own career that actually serving ideas and sort of providing ideas to people, it's a greatly underserved need that's out there in the audience. And I don't think the American people have sort of drifted away from wanting ideas. In some ways, I think the media are making a mistake by not serving them enough of it.
So really the blame lies with the creators of content and media.
That's what I would say. And in some ways, of course, it's easier to have, you know, the talking heads and the shouting partisans, you know, yelling at one another. And of course, that does in some ways make for gripping television, I suppose. But it's a lot like going to a restaurant and just eating French fries, you know, for your whole meal. It's fun the first three bites. And then by the end of the meal, you feel quite sick of it. And I think in many ways, that's what, you know, we try and do at Hidden Brain and we try and do in public radio, I would say, in general, which is to give people a more hearty meal. It might take a little bit more time to get into the meal and enjoy it, but by the end of it, you feel much more satisfied.
That's certainly our goal here. Our slogan is connecting you to a world of ideas. So
exactly.
We certainly subscribe to that line of thinking. So then what type of subject areas tend to elicit the most response from listeners of your show?
I feel that the thing that most elicits response from our listeners is when we talk about things that find a way to connect with people's lives. So I think the ideas that resonate most with people are the ideas that in some ways help people understand their own lives in ways that are meaningful or important. And I think this is true for all of us. I mean, we're drawn to ideas, of course, because ideas are interesting, but we're especially drawn to ideas that help us understand how can we be more effective in the world? How can we move through the world with greater, you know, capacity, with greater emotional capacity, with greater openness, with more humility, enjoy our lives more, to be happier? I think these are the questions that animate people the most.
You've had some pretty cool episodes recently, and one was about coping with chaos. And the world does seem to be more chaotic, and that may be perception, but it does seem that way at times. How do people better cope with the overwhelming amount of chaos in our world in daily lives?
Well, there's sort of two ways to do it. And one is to try and just minimize the chaos around you. And in some ways, I think that's the standard approach that most of us have. It's certainly the approach that I take much of my life. I try and say, how do I minimize the number of chaotic things happening around me? I feel that gives me more control, more of a grip on what's going on. But we recently had an episode which really talked about a different way of thinking about chaos, more the idea that you try and surf chaos, that you actually don't try and suppress it, but you try and surf it. And in some ways, by being open to the complexities and the unexpected things that happen as a result of chaos, your life can actually grow much richer. So this is actually a sort of a different approach to the idea of that our lives are filled with confusion and multiple things pulling us in multiple directions. If we're actually open to the ways in which our lives might be pulling us, we could actually surf the waves of chaos rather than feel overwhelmed by them.
Well, I think about chaos in the form of a bunch of tweets. You know, you can log on any of the social media platforms and scroll through and think, oh my gosh, I don't even have any idea what any of this means, what's going on. On that note, I noticed that Hidden Brain has a Twitter account. You don't maintain a personal one. Is there a reason for that?
So it was an interesting story in some ways. For many years when I was, you know, as I was doing stories on NPR, and in fact, even before I joined public radio, I had created the Twitter handle at Hidden Brain. And I was using that really as my personal Twitter handle. And at some point, the Hidden Brain show essentially took that over and it became the show's handle. So I don't really spend a lot of time tweeting myself. In general, I've never used social media to express personal opinions. It's almost always been to talk about interesting work or to talk about stories that I and others have done. And in some ways, the Hidden Brain feed right now is primarily devoted to telling people about the work that we're presenting on the show and to draw attention to work, interesting work being done by other people.
Yeah, a lot of promotion of the episodes and all that. And of course, you've again had some very cool episodes recently. Another one that was really fascinating in just this week explored the dramatic evolution of public support for same-sex marriage. And I just want to share some of the data that you shared. In 1988, fewer than 12% of respondents to the general social survey supported the idea of same-sex marriage. But just last year, in 2018, 30 years later, it was up to 68%. And your show explored the psychological reasons behind that shift. Without giving too much away, in case people haven't heard that episode yet, what did your show explore about this?
Well, I think this is one of the episodes we've been proudest of, and I certainly would encourage people to listen to the show. It's called Radically Normal, and it was on our podcast, and it's going to be on our radio show in the next few days as well. And basically, I think the story explores what is a mystery. Because in general, when people have strong opinions about something, they don't change those opinions. You know, for all of the shouting that happens on Fox News and MSNBC, it's not like liberals and conservatives change their minds because they hear people voicing, you know, the opposite view. So our views tend to be very stable, especially on hot button issues. And so something really dramatic has happened when it comes to the attitudes that many Americans have on the question of gay rights. And sort of attitudes about same-sex marriage are one part of it, but they're actually one part of a much larger constellation of attitudes, all of which have changed very, very dramatically. And so the episode really explores why this happened, but it also explores the different strategies that the gay rights movement employed and some of the tensions between those strategies in terms of what actually drives change. And I think the final answer is both moving, but also I think some at some level counterintuitive, because it actually suggests that the thing that actually made the biggest difference was not the thing that actually got a lot of attention or applause or buy-in at the front end. It actually required some amount of jostling within the gay rights movement. But that actually was what actually made the difference in the end.
Hidden Brain was also the title of a 2010 book that you wrote. And part of the description reads that the hidden brain is, quote, the voice in our ear when we make the most important decisions in our lives, but we're never aware of it. The hidden brain decides whom we fall in love with and whom we hate. It tells us to vote for the white candidate and convict the dark-skinned defendant. Are we never aware of the hidden brain?
So that's a really interesting question, Michael. And I think the answer is sometimes we are and sometimes we're not. I think there are certainly aspects of our mental functioning that are simply beyond access to conscious introspection, that they're just parts of the brain that are just designed to be sealed off from conscious introspection. And there are other parts of the brain that perhaps might be better described as implicit, that they're sort of below the surface. And if we turn our attention to it, we sometimes can get access to things that are just below the surface. But much of the time, in order to lead our lives effectively and smoothly, much of what happens in our minds actually is below the surface. That as you and I are talking right now, there are enormous things that our minds, an enormous number of things that our minds are doing that you and I are not aware of. Some of those things we can consciously turn our attention to and become aware of, but there are also lots of things that are simply beyond the ken of introspection.
Well, I think I can feel my hidden brain hurting all of a sudden, so I appreciate that. Hidden Brain host Shankar Vedantam will be the annual Brother Joseph W. Stander Symposium speaker at the University of Dayton on Thursday, April 25th. More details on that at wvxu.org. Shankar, we really appreciate the time you gave us today.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Michael.
That was Hidden Brain host Shankar Vedantam talking with Cincinnati Edition earlier. He's part of the University of Dayton speaker series on Thursday, April 25th at 7 p.m. The event is free. More details at WVXU.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.